Tonight, a deadly crash. A military plane caught on camera plunging to the ground, slamming into flames on a busy highway.
It started just free falling backwards. It was like a huge ball of fire and a huge explosion.
Tonight, at least two are dead. And terrifying moments in midair when another window breaks on another Southwest flight, weeks after a passenger was killed. The major shakeup for President Trump's legal team, his lead attorney on the Russia probe out, a Clinton impeachment lawyer in, and new questions. Could Mueller subpoena the president? New tornado threat, tens of millions at risk on the heels of a major outbreak. Al Roker is tracking it. New police body cam from the Las Vegas massacre. For the first time, see what deputies encountered when they breached the sniper's nest. And skipping college, with tuition rising and student loan debt soaring, even honor students are saying it's not worth it.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and thank you for being here. It was a horrifying scene in Savannah, Georgia today as a four-engine military transport plane fell from the sky, exploding onto a busy highway into a ball of flame and smoke. Cameras capturing the final seconds just after takeoff. Officials say there were nine people aboard the Puerto Rico Air National Guard C-130. Our Gabe Gutierrez has late details tonight from the scene.
This surveillance video captured the moments the cargo plane plummeted to the ground.
And it went all the way on its back, flat on its back, and went down to the ground. Boom.
Everything was in slow motion. It just disappeared behind the tree line. You saw it go nose down, and the explosion came. A fireball went up. That's when kind of knew something was real, but it still didn't seem real.
The fiery crash could be seen for miles.
Highway 21 and Gold Street Road, headlines, a military jet crashed across both lanes of the road.
Thick black smoke billowing near Savannah, Georgia's airport. The wreckage scattered across a busy highway.
There were no cars hit in this crash. It is an absolute miracle at that time of day and that intersection.
The C-130 Hercules plane from the 156th Airlift Wing out of Puerto Rico took off around 11:30 this morning, bound for Arizona. Eyewitnesses say its nose shot up shortly after takeoff before it came crashing down. James Levine says his car was just 25 yards away.
It looked like it was stalling out, and it started just free-falling backwards and crashed in the middle of 21, and it was like a huge ball of fire and a huge explosion.
It's been a particularly deadly period for military aviation. In the first week of April, here in the United States, three crashes left seven people dead. Tonight, investigators are trying to find out what caused this crash, but so far, few answers.
The county coroner tells NBC News that so far at least two bodies have been recovered. The Puerto Rican Air National Guard says this plane had been decommissioned and had been undergoing maintenance and repairs here for the past month. Lester.
All right, Gabe Gutierrez, Air Force tonight. Thank you. A lot of new developments this evening in the showdown between President Trump and Special Counsel Robert Mueller. The president shaking up his legal team. Again, Ty Cobb is out, and a new heavy hitter who acted as Bill Clinton's impeachment lawyer is in. It comes amid signs the Trump team is shifting tactics, preparing for battle and a potential confrontation over a subpoena. Our chief White House correspondent Hallie Jackson has new details tonight.
Tonight, new signs of a more aggressive chapter in the president's fight with the special counsel. He's losing a lawyer, Ty Cobb, who's taken a more conciliatory tone.
Cooperation definitely was the right move and definitely the path that would lead to the quickest resolution.
And the president is adding another attorney, Emmett Flood, who represented Bill Clinton during his impeachment. His hiring, seen as a signal the president may rely more heavily on executive privilege, which could shut down certain questions from Robert Mueller. The scope of that interview is still being negotiated, with Rudy Giuliani, who also represents the president, explaining what they want on Fox News.
2 hours.
And topics?
Questions in advance, relevant topics, and then we'd want a commitment for them that they're going to decide before the end of the summer, so we don't have this drag on.
So what happens if both sides cannot come to an agreement? Mueller might try to force the president to talk by issuing a subpoena. Any president can be subpoenaed. Jefferson, Nixon, and Clinton all were. But it'd be up to the president whether to comply or not. He'd have four options to consider. Option one, testify and answer questions, like the president said he'd be willing to do last summer.
100%.
Option two, plead the fifth and answer no questions, a maneuver he's blasted before.
The mob takes the fifth.
If you're innocent, why are you taking the Fifth Amendment?
Option three, fight the subpoena. That would open up a legal battle that could go all the way to the Supreme Court. Then there's option four, ignore the subpoena, which would put the president in uncharted territory.
The likelihood of some kind of subpoena coming into play is becoming more and more real.
It's not just the legal component. There's also a political piece of this that comes into play. If the president does, say, decide to fight a subpoena, he may face political fallout, especially with the midterms just around the corner. Lester?
All right, Hallie Jackson, thanks. And you raise a lot. So let's bring in our justice correspondent, Pete Williams. Pete, let's game this out for a second. We could be entering, as we heard, uncharted territory. What happens if Mueller issues a subpoena and the president simply refuses it or ignores it?
Well, if he ignores it, Mueller could go to court for an order to compel him to obey the subpoena. And if he still ignores it, he could be found in contempt of court and fined, though that whole scenario seems very far-fetched. Or the president could try to fight the subpoena in court. That's what President Nixon tried to do. He failed when he tried to shield the White House tapes from the Watergate prosecutor by claiming executive privilege. The Supreme Court said that claim must yield to a demonstrated specific need for evidence in a pending criminal case. And then 23 years later, the Supreme Court ruled that President Clinton was not immune from a sexual harassment lawsuit filed by Paula Jones. The ruling said the president is subject to court orders in appropriate circumstances. Now, that was a civil case, but the court said the need for evidence in a criminal case is even greater. So nobody can be sure how this would turn out, but that doesn't seem like there's much reason for the White House to be optimistic that it would win such a fight, Lester.
All right, Pete Williams, thanks for breaking it down for us. Now to a new scare aboard a Southwest Airlines flight just 2 weeks after that mid-air explosion pierced through a window on the plane, killing a passenger who was partially sucked outside the aircraft. This time it was a sudden crack in a window that led pilots to divert the flight. We get details from NBC's Ron Mott.
The new mid-air scare happening this morning on Southwest Flight 957 from Chicago to Newark. Frightened passengers took pictures. A window cracked from top to bottom, although it did not break completely, leaving the cabin fully pressurized.
I was about two seats away.
It sounded like somebody had stood up and opened the overhead and slammed it shut with a lot of force.
The plane diverting to Cleveland, no injuries.
I think it was in everybody's mind that, oh my God, this happened again.
Cracked windows are rare. Aviation sources tell us they know of just 26 such incidents in the entire history of the Boeing 737. There are multiple layers of window pane as a safety precaution.
As the airplane expands and contracts through pressurization, that window is working constantly. And so if there's any kind of scratch in there, that could create a fatigue failure or a stress riser to cause the window to fail.
Today's incident follows a deadly Southwest flight just 2 weeks ago. 43-year-old Jennifer Reardon, a mother of two, died when an engine failed, sending shrapnel through a window, partially sucking her out of the plane. Her husband talking to NBC News.
She is going to be with us forever, and everything we do as a family is going to be based on Jennifer Reardon.
Southwest says there were no indications of engine problems on today's flight, that the aircraft has been taken out of service for maintenance review. Though the flight was not declared an emergency, for some, too close for comfort. Ron Mott, NBC News, Cleveland.
It's right about that time of year, and tonight millions are on alert across the Midwest and the Plains, bracing for severe storms and a major threat of tornadoes, like this one that touched down in Bennington, Kansas last night. An EF3 with 140-mile-per-hour winds that damaged homes and buildings. Al Roker is keeping an eye on it for us. Al, I get out of town for a day, and spring occurs in New York.
Boy, with a vengeance, Lester, and we are looking at rough weather up and down from the Gulf all the way on up into the Midwest. You can see an uninterrupted line of severe thunderstorm watches and tornado watches from Texas all the way to Illinois and Indiana, and we're starting to see tornado warnings pop up now. We have an area of moderate risk to enhanced risk all the way to slight risk for 25 million people from Texas on into Illinois. And then as this system starts to make its way to the east overnight, look for those tornadoes firing up. That's a really dangerous time. The threat from the Midwest to the southern plains. For tomorrow, 37 million people at risk in the plains of the Midwest. Scattered storms make their way into the northeast with heavy rain and also strong storms. And as you mentioned, Lester, summer is here. Forget about spring. Temperatures in the eastern two-thirds of the country, 10 to 20 degrees above average. New York City setting a record today, tying a record, setting records in Baltimore and parts of New England. Where you are, Lester, not so much.
Yeah, remind me. Thank you, Al Roker, with Friends on the Plaza in New York. Thanks. Tonight, federal health officials say that E. coli outbreak involving romaine lettuce has turned deadly. The CDC says the fatality happened in California as this outbreak spreads now to 25 states, sickening at least 121 people. And of those people sickened, some of those hospitalized with kidney failure. Health officials continue to emphasize do not eat any romaine lettuce unless you are sure it did not come from the Yuma, Arizona region. Now to new developments in the worst mass shooting in American history, modern American history. Late today, Las Vegas authorities released new body cam video showing us for the first time deputies storming the hotel room of the shooter who killed 58 people at a concert below. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer has the story and a warning. This video is disturbing.
Tonight, for the first time, the view from two officers who cleared Stephen Paddock's Mandalay Bay hotel room. The lead officer's body camera was never turned on.
In with you, with you, with you.
Deputies breaching the sniper's nest after Paddock took his own life. His suite on the 32nd floor, an arsenal filled with weapons and ammunition. This is where Paddock murdered 58 during a music festival, the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history.
We believe the release of the graphic footage will further traumatize a wounded community. For that, we apologize.
During the 10 minutes of terror, Paddock injured hundreds, many today still suffering.
The kind of trauma that's going to come from watching released footage would be trauma that I could choose myself to watch, whereas the trauma that I experienced, I did not get the choice.
Releasing body camera footage from officers on the ground, surveillance tape of Paddock before the shooting, and now 6 months later, the moments after he took his own life. But tonight, despite all the evidence, still no motive. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
Police say there is a public safety danger spreading across the country. Paintball wars are increasingly moving out of the fields and forests and onto city streets, and in some cases escalating into real gun violence with tragic consequences. NBC's Stephanie Gosk has the story.
Paintball guns are meant to be harmless, but police in cities around the country say a surge of paintball fights are terrorizing their residents. In Greensboro, North Carolina.
To date, we've seen about 44 incidents of paintball activity in the city. Just in the month of April.
In Milwaukee, 65 reports of people being hit with paintballs in the last week.
It's unsuspecting citizens who don't know what's going on.
This our hood now.
Rapper 21 Savage is credited with starting the trend, posting videos of paintball guns and calling for paintballs up, guns down. Some describe it as an anti-violence campaign.
Better than somebody out here fighting and shooting, yeah, why not?
But in at least two incidents, according to officials, the paintball battles triggered deadly shootings. In Greensboro, 19-year-old Zacharias Bradley was killed with real bullets during what police say started as a paintball fight. And outside Atlanta, police say 15-year-old Christopher Collins fired an actual gun in retaliation during a paintball attack, killing 3-year-old Taraji Diggs in his mother's car.
When I turned the corner, my baby, he just kept crying.
The toddler's mother says 21 Savage, a personal friend of the family, paid for the funeral, and she doesn't blame him for the violence.
He actually was telling them to put down the real guns and put up the paintball guns.
A publicist for 21 Savage did not return a request for comment. Now police in multiple cities warn that what may have started with good intentions has backfired. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, New York.
Still ahead, is a 4-year college degree really worth it these days? Why a growing number of experts say the answer may be no. Also, the two men at the center of the Philadelphia Starbucks arrest outrage agree to settle with the city what they wanted instead of money for themselves. Back now, as we approach graduation season, there's an education alternative growing in popularity, particularly among young people who want to gear their education toward a specific career. But for some, a traditional 4-year college just isn't what they want or need, particularly with the rising cost of tuition. NBC's Rahema Ellis takes a closer look at a college alternative.
High school junior Rayleigh Nicholson sounds like a natural for college. A's in honors classes, high marks on college boards. But the 17-year-old says she's better suited for something else. A 2-year technical program to become a diesel mechanic.
people did try to push me towards a four-year school.
And you said?
Not for me.
Rayleigh's passion is fixing old cars.
I like puzzles. I like figuring out where pieces fit, and I like taking things apart and figuring out how they worked.
While a college degree has obvious advantages, as costs keep rising, many experts are now advising some students to think hard if a four-year degree is right for them. Why? 40% of those who enroll fail to graduate in 6 years. 30% end up in jobs that don't require a bachelor's. And 28% with a two-year degree earn more than the average college graduate in jobs like computer programming and airplane mechanics.
These are good jobs. About half of our labor market is jobs like this, mid-skill jobs, and many of them pay quite well.
Disappointed at first, but Rayleigh's mother says she's not anymore.
I'd rather have her do something that she enjoys, that she won't get tired of, and be happy with her life.
Rayleigh Nicholson has a large degree of confidence.
I don't want to go sit in a classroom for another 4 years. I want to be out working.
She's on the right track. Rahima Ellis, NBC News, Charleroi, Pennsylvania.
And there is more to come tonight, including taking the boy out of the Boy Scouts, the big change for an American institution. And after a tragedy in the sky, United Airlines is changing its rules about flying with pets. We'll be right back. An update tonight after a video that sparked a nationwide firestorm. Those two black men who were arrested for sitting at a Philadelphia Starbucks without ordering anything and refusing to leave have now settled with the city and the company. Dante Robinson and Rashawn Nelson received a symbolic $1 each from the city and a promise from city officials to set up a $200,000 program for young entrepreneurs. The amount of the settlement with Starbucks was not disclosed. The company did reveal the men will be given the opportunity to complete their bachelor's degrees online, tuition fully covered via Starbucks' partnership with Arizona State University. A big change tonight for the Boy Scouts as it prepares to welcome girls into the ranks. The Boy Scouts program, the one for 11 to 17-year-olds, will now be known as Scouts BSA. So far, more than 3,000 girls have joined. The parent organization will still be called the Boy Scouts of America, and the program for kindergartners through fifth graders will still be known as Cub Scouts. United Airlines is changing its pet policy. United will resume transporting dogs and cats in its cargo holds after a temporary suspension. But starting June 18th, it's banning more than two dozen breeds, like various types of bulldogs, pugs, and mastiffs, citing, quote, higher adverse health risks. The change comes after a dog died in a United overhead compartment in March. We'll take a short break, and up next, back in the saddle. Horses rescued from disaster return to help the kids who love them. Finally tonight, it was one of the most striking images from last year's California fires. Horses fleeing as ranches were engulfed in flames. Some were specially trained therapy horses, and now, months later, they're back doing what they do best. Here's Joe Fryer.
Every Sunday, Justin Walco's playground is a ranch, and his play pal is a horse named Miles.
What's your connection with Miles?
He's showing me how to be a good person.
You want to go around one more time?
It's part of an equestrian therapy program called Let's Ride.
Shake, shake, shake.
We came one time, and I was completely hooked, as was he.
Mom Lisa says the horses helped Justin with his ADHD, calming him and letting him focus.
It absolutely does a lot for his confidence.
And when you see that?
It makes me very, very happy, and I know that we're in the right place.
There you go.
Ann Mariner created the program to empower not just people, but the horses. You see, they've been rescued too. Take Miles, who was abandoned and tied up in a parking lot.
Good boy.
People break them and then we fix them, or we try to.
Then last December, they had to be rescued again from wildfires. As flames whipped across Southern California, horses across the region were evacuated quickly.
It just made me sad because this ranch really means a lot to me.
Justin soon learned the therapy horses were safely moved to a nearby college. They survived, and so did the ranch.
I'm happy that it's still here.
Which means his Sunday tradition rides on. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Tujunga, California.
And that is nightly news for this Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. I think I'm going to go heat up some chicken soup. In the meantime, for all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.